Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Today's show, as usual, is brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On to save $10 off your first order. Pete, we got some of the first morsels here of what the security protocols are going to look like for players and everybody kind of around this bubble. It sounds a lot stricter than I was kind of surprised by how strict it was. We'll get to that here in a bit, but I have a stupid hypothetical question that we haven't thrown to in a little while.
All right, what's that?
All right, is there a sport that you wish you could have like tried out, been better at? You know, not basketball, right? But or baseball, because you also played baseball. So a sport that you didn't play or you didn't play competitively that you would have liked to give it a go a little bit more.
That's a good one. Am I like wishing I had a particular talent or like for a sport or is it just my current like level of ability?
No. Like your current athleticism that you would try out a sport you've always seen. So like, what's his name? The guy for Silver Screen. He's going to be pissed that I can't remember his name. He's like trying to learn golf. Oh my God, you're not helping me at all here. With who?
Christian?
No, it's not Christian. It's one of the newer kids. He's gonna.
Oh, look at us. We're like grandfatherly. We're so close to being washed. This is all going to go downhill for us very quickly.
Damn it! I'm so angry at myself for not remembering his name. As soon as we move on, I'm gonna remember his damn name.
There's bad signs. We're about to go down the roller coaster.
Yeah. So anyway, he's trying to learn golf. This nameless person is trying to learn golf. And, what I found really brave is that he put some videos of himself out there on Twitter learning golf. And look, like everybody thinks that, yeah, golf can't be that hard. You know, you see the ball, it's not even like you play baseball too, right? So you're like, the ball's not even moving. There's no way this can be that difficult. And then you get out there on a golf course or a driving range and you feel stupid immediately. And that's even after like I still feel stupid regularly when I play golf, and I've been playing golf since I was like five. But yeah, this person who shall remain nameless as I'm scrolling through our Slack, Ollie. No, is it Ollie? It is Ollie.
Wow. It was Ollie. Wow.
You weren't helping. You're on Twitter. Wow. You saw the videos.
I assumed, like, I was trying not to insult. That's why I was like, you're not talking about Christian, are you? Like,
No, that would have been really insulting.
I was just trying to determine where the line is on this. I guess Ollie would have been my next guess of who you would know. Ollie's my guy, man. Like, help me edit videos. Made a bunch of good videos for Silver Screen.
He does great work. He does really good work. And I just completely, completely big-timed him. Mm-hmm. Who's that other guy? That little kid?
Jesus, Anthony.
Back to the question at hand, Pete. Seeing as you offered zero fucking help there. Is there a sport that you would like to have tried out, given your current athleticism or the athleticism you've carried with you over the course of your life that you haven't really tried, or you know, a sport that you've tried but you wish you could be better at? Is there a sport like that that comes to mind?
I mean, tennis always seemed fun. I'm probably a little short to be good at tennis, but...
That'd be all right. Like, I mean, you know, you get the lobs would get you into some trouble if you like charge the net, but I think you'd be fine. You're good at ping pong. I could see like some of that.
So that was the other, that was the other thing, right? Like, you know, there's no high school, you know, table tennis team or anything, but
yeah,
that or shooting pool. I mean, where I grew up, we went to the pool hall every weekend. That's like when, you know, you're in high school, that was like the one place to hang out aside from a house party. Right. So yeah, I think that would have been fun to be like a professional pool player or something like that. That's very like 1950s, like kid dream job, right? I want to be a pool shark. No,
it's a BBC.
Jesus, fucking, when is this show over? Oh, this is the first segment, isn't it?
We're like 3 minutes in.
Oh, fuck.
or is this close to the weekend? All right. So I think I've played golf too long to count that as my sport, right? Ping pong, like, it's already out there. I don't want to say ping pong because, like, I know what the fuck you're thinking right now. Like, if I was better at ping pong, I would beat you more often.
Or ever. You've never beaten me at ping pong.
Yes, I have. I've beaten you at least once.
You've never beaten me.
I have beaten, no way.
I would remember if you would have beaten me.
I think I've beaten you once.
It is a matter of personal pride that you've never beaten me at this. That's how certain I am of it. Like, there have been a couple of times where it's been, like, tied at, like, 22 or something like that. I'm like, you know, like, I got to lock in.
I like how, like,
everything I got. It's, like, way more important to me than it is to you, right? Like, so,
in those spots, it's always funny when it's, like, we're at deuce or something like that. You're like, hey, dude, your drink is a little low. Do you want another one?
Uh-huh. Like, are you fucking avatar locked in, like, let's go. Let's play this one.
But yeah, ping pong came to mind. Pool is a good one too, because it's kind of like a fun hobby. You know what's a weird one also? I mean, I can't do it anymore because we moved away from the ocean, but surfing. Surfing was fun. I used to be really into, like, body surfing and bodyboarding and stuff like that, but surfing would have been fun to learn.
Yeah, that's one of those things, like, I've never tried that does seem fun, but it also seems like that shit probably sailed for me. Like, if I were to ever, it would have probably happened by now, and that's okay.
Are you like a, because there are some people that are just adamantly against swimming in the ocean. Are you one of those?
Yeah, people? The older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, I have enough, like, random bad shit happen in my life, like, in areas where my species is at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It is like a grand equalizer out there.
Yeah.
Like, right, there are sometimes where you're swimming out there by yourself and you feel like there's something watching.
Yeah, like, that's what, I'm not into, like, skydiving or bungee jump. Like, I'm not trying to make my life harder or more terrifying. Like, it's doing a good job as it already is. So, yeah.
I do get it. Like, I love the ocean. I mentioned on Twitter the other day, somebody was like, if there was a project that you could just quit working for a year to focus on, it would be something along the lines of, like, some kind of killer whale documentary. I'm a complete nut about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even still, like, I remember we were in Hawaii last year or maybe the year before, and we were at this one beach. It was kind of cool. Like, there was not very many waves there. And there were some spots, there was one spot in particular where, like, the rocks had been kind of formed. There was some, this, like, halfway in between man-made and earth-made, right? Naturally made, where the rocks kind of created this tiny little bay. And it's known for, like, having turtles swim in there. So,
oh, that's kinda cool.
You like wade into this little spot and you sit down and these turtles will, like, swim up to you or whatever. And even, like, these are turtles that we're talking about. They aren't particularly, like, nobody ever thinks, man, a turtle might be intimidating. But then you get into the water, because I didn't have goggles, and these turtles, like, their wingspans are, like, crazy wide. They're, like, these really big, because I was kind of looking up at them when I went down into the water. I was looking up at them and I was like, Jesus, the nature is freaking terrifying. These are turtles. Right.
Those are the things that get eaten.
Yeah. Things, right? Like, right. Yeah. This is like dinner for most, you know, the things that we consider terrifying. And these things are pretty intimidating. So, yeah, nature's wild. Nature is really, there was a phase in my life where I was like, yeah, I want to be like a SeaWorld trainer, right? Which is hugely wrong to do at this point. You know, we know enough about it to where, you know, SeaWorld has been canceled. I remember I was at SeaWorld one day and they opened up the thing and a killer whale basically was swimming kind of sort of at me. And it was so big. And I was just like, who does this? Like, who actually jumps into the water with these things? They're insane. So,
yeah,
that's a complete detour from where we were going to start the show.
No, this is actually something I've always liked marine biology, and I think you're more into it. But when I was a kid, that was one of the, of all of the science things, I think that's something we have in common.
Yeah. I mean, like, killer whales are really cool. Like, they actually have different dialects like different parts of the world. Where, like, they actually, because their language is actually,
so they have accents?
Yes, they actually do. The ones in Australia have like a twangy accent to them. It's the weirdest thing.
This might be my favorite segment of the show we've ever done.
Yeah. Oh man, I could dive down this rabbit hole. Like they have what's called transient killer whales, and they're like the biggest ones, and they go ocean to ocean. They just go wherever they feel like, and they're giant killer whales. But then you have like regional killer whales where, you know, in Australia's those regional killer whales know how to hunt stingrays, which like they turn upside down and then they know how to like clip off the sting. They teach their kids how to do this. Obviously everybody thinks of like the killer whales in Chile that like beach themselves to get up and get those seals, right? That's something that they teach their young and all that. So like you have these different cultures from all around the world with this animal that, you know, most people just think of as like, yeah, it's Shamu, but really it's wild. The similarities that they have with humans are pretty intense.
How long do you think we could talk about this and
it'd be me talking. this stuff I would love to do. I just watched another good whale documentary. The project that they're working on right now, it was interesting. So they're trying to get all the whales out of like SeaWorld and all that in the States, right? There's not much you can do with like Russia and China just because they are Russia and China. But mm-hmm. with countries that, you know, are more likely to negotiate in these spots. What they're thinking about doing is like up in the Pacific Northwest, they are going to go basically bay by bay and find some of these bays that have enough water in them and then don't have any, you know, nothing is built around them. They're going to basically net those off and transport killer whales that are in like the various SeaWorlds around the country up there so that they can, you know, feel what it's like to have currents and nature above you and like hunt your own fish and all that stuff too, without like just throwing them out into the deep end where they wouldn't be able to survive without like being fed and stuff like that. So this is like this really cool, like really interesting project that they're trying to do. But, you know, there's obviously a ton of moving parts getting funding for it in and of itself. Like I think it would take $2 million a year to run that facility. It's just,
yeah, those things like that are some of the costs of, you know, pandemics and of, you know, world crises that, you know, people have less money and time and attention mm-hmm. for worthwhile projects like that. Right. And that's and a lot of times they become neglected and they become abandoned and then the impact of that is felt. Right. And so it's just, when you say stuff like that, I just think of like the cost of all of everything it's like a ripple in a pond. Like it's like a stone in a still pond, right? Like mm-hmm. the ripple effect just goes out now and now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they're behind schedule now because they were hoping to have this done late 2019, but they fell behind on that schedule. And then because of all this, I can't imagine it helped, you know? So we'll see. We'll see whatever progress they start making from this point forward. All right. We're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers, who are not killer whales.
So the answer was one segment we could talk about.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think people would be particularly interested in me rambling about killer whales for a half hour. Well, it's who knows? If you guys are interested in that, leave us a question in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes. And
it's just like, goddamn, they played in like 4 months, man. Like, give us one, man. We just talk about this. We have bullshit we want to talk about, man.
Yeah. Let's take a second. We'll come back and we got to talk about these security protocols because I found this whole dynamic very interesting and tone deaf in some spots too. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Built Bar has become an absolute habit of mine. I'm trying to convert Jen to, she wakes up obviously earlier than I do. She has something closer to a 9-to-5 and, you know, sometimes says like, man, I just wish I had more time in the morning without feeling like a complete zombie during the day. And I always say, try one of my Built Bars. Just give one a shot. And the other morning, actually, she had one. She really liked the mint one. That came in a box And she said, wow, I actually felt myself feeling better as I ate it. And I said, I've been there. I have spoken about that specifically here on the show while we have talked about Built Bar. They're really good for you. They have great flavor profiles. They have, and their flavors are rotating. So if you ever get sick of one, or if you ever want to kind of add to the experience of Built Bar, they make that super easy to do as well with rotating flavors and introducing new flavors constantly. So head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off that first order. And then tell your friends. And, you know, if you've already used that promo code and you're looking for other ways to save on that box, check out the various ways that they offer you to save on, you know, the first round of flavors that they started with. So you can go and you can save based on the number of boxes that you buy there as well. Again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off that first order. And then tell your friends. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Blinkist. We've been talking a ton, obviously, about heavy issues and to the point where Pete, just time after time after time after some of these shows, just saying, man, it sure would be nice to not talk about such heavy things. But look, the stuff that we're talking about, the stuff we have been talking about, and the point in history that we find ourselves in kind of requires us to be as informed as possible. And the best way that I have found to be able to do that has been through Blinkist. They have hundreds of offerings in terms of self-help books to historical books to inform yourself on, and biographical books if that's the kind of thing that you're into as well, and it's all on Blinkist.com. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com. And if you haven't yet, make sure you go to Blinkist.com/NBA to be able to try this for free and then save 25% off your new subscription. So again, that's Blinkist.com/NBA for that free 7-day trial and then 25% off your new subscription. Blinkist.com, Blinkist, Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, so I'm reading this report here from Tim Bontemps of ESPN. I'll just start here. The NBA has shared with its players a security plan to help enforce the health and safety protocols it announced last week and secure its campus at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex for the resumption of the 2019-2020 season. The league will use local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, as well as experienced venue and contracted security professionals as team security staff. A source familiar with the league's plan said there will be no law enforcement within the campus. Law enforcement will be used to keep, you know, to hold the perimeter of it from outside civilians. NBA locations in Orlando, Florida also will have secured perimeters, technological security deployments, and a fusion center approach to threat intelligence. In addition, league security will ensure all venues and team hotel campuses are closed to non-credentialed individuals. There will be secure check... Avery's thrilled. There will be secure checkpoints, credential control, and roving security inside and outside of the perimeter of every location in use. So when Bontemps tweeted out that they were going to rely upon law enforcement agencies, everybody freaked out, right? And for decent reason, given everything that's going on. I saw somebody tweet it with, like, the meme was just like, read the room, fucko. Like,
yeah, like, there's a little more. That one might require a couple tweets, right? Like,
yeah.
Gotta massage that one a little bit. Yeah.
This is one of those things where you don't want to thread or quote tweet yourself as you're going along. You want your tweets threaded as, you know, and proofread and all figured out as you're sending that shit out there. I didn't want to quote tweet or dunk on Tim. For one thing, he's been really nice to me, and then for another thing, I didn't think that the NBA was so tone deaf that its plan to go back and play again was going to be literal cops keeping basketball players in a secure facility. Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't think that's what they were going to do, but you know, but the way it was framed,
you like that sort of thing, right? That's you're into that, huh? Based on our previous conversations.
I just said that SeaWorld was canceled. And I'm all excited. But yeah, no, to answer your question, no, I am not into that kind of thing. but some of this stuff does sound a lot more intense. Now, look, this is all going to be a process, right? They are going to negotiate a lot of these things, especially a lot of the security stuff was, you know, is framed with keeping the bubble secure from outside personnel secure, mm-hmm. right?
This is what I was going to get into. Yes.
This isn't, you know, them keeping the NBA players in as much as it's keeping everybody else out, which I'm fine with. If you're going to be super strict mm-hmm. on something, it's got to be this.
That's it. That's exactly the line they've got to thread, right? Is the them keeping people out who aren't supposed to be there. That's the caveat to that, right? Mm-hmm. Them keeping people out that aren't supposed to be there. That's good. Even yeah. I'll support that, right? Mm-hmm. Them keeping the guys in like that, the more you're doing that, mm-hmm. the more you will lose my support. Right. And yeah. you'll lose it very quickly. Right. That's all I've been advocating for this whole time, right? Is that the players, there's a way to do this where the players cannot have their civil liberties infringed upon mm-hmm. while keeping them safe. Right. I think there's a way to make everyone happy.
On that front, this is the closest that we get to talking about that stuff, right? Again, this is from Bontemps. Any off-campus movement would be limited to either a pre-approved emergency. I don't know how you get a pre-approved emergency.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess that would be like, you know, I think it's like pregnant wife or scheduled surgery for a loved one, right? Like something oh, where...
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it would pull you where you know, yeah. like, hey, I've got this thing coming up that I need to be at. I think that's what that means, but that's just speculation on my part.
So yeah, I was thinking it was actually a typo that they meant to have a comma there, right? It would be limited to either pre-approved comma emergency comma or a planned movement supported by security.
That would actually make more sense.
Yeah. Well, the stuff you're talking about makes sense too, though, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
These guys are leaving their families. Like, you know, especially when this thing starts off, they are going to be isolated from their families. Mm-hmm. And it's not like these families are not going to have anything going on right now. But, you know, some of these guys, you know, like you mentioned, some of their wives or girlfriends are pregnant. You know, you have, mm-hmm. older family members who might have some kind of a surgery, you know, immediate family members who have some kind of a surgery scheduled that they want to be able to, you know, maybe duck out for a bit, make sure that goes okay, and then get back to the bubble. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's something that the NBA should keep in mind with stuff mm-hmm. like this. Right. But yeah, I'll continue here. For any off-campus events that are organized for leisure purposes, league security will be supplemented by former special ops forces personnel in order to, quote, provide a scalable safety bubble. On-campus activities will be handled by individual team security. So it sounds like if a team wants to take a trip or if somebody, you know, is going to leave that campus, they are going to be accompanied by, you know, some people to make sure that nobody, because this is the thing. The way that you limit or mitigate the concern here for COVID is to make sure people keep their space, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you want to find some kind of happy medium between your civil liberties are gone and, hey, we also have to make sure that you are as safe as possible, the way that you do that is, okay, you can leave this campus, but we are going to make sure nobody from the outside world comes within 6 feet of you. I think that's
right. I do too. I think what they're talking about here is very like, I could get behind it. I think it's a good, it's, you know, treat each of these dudes like the president of the United States when they leave the mm-hmm. campus, right? If you've got the personnel and the money and Lord knows, all it takes is one person to bring it back. That's how the outbreaks happen, right? And so if they've got the resources to be able to pull that off, that's great. My only concern, and this, it's interesting, this kind of speaks to the broader discussions about policing in America that we've been having over the last, month plus, is sometimes the concept of policing is noble, but the execution of it can be abused.
Yeah.
And so long as there's some guard against that, as there's some, consideration given to, like, just because that's how it's supposed to work doesn't mean that that's how it does work,
yeah,
especially with Black men in America,
mm-hmm,
right? That's just something that needs to be considered, is all I'm saying. But theoretically, I think we're on the right track.
Not only does it need to be considered, but I think the NBA really needs to be upfront with all of the security personnel here, whether it's special ops people that we were talking about, police officers. I know Florida Highway Patrol is going to be involved in escorting buses to and from wherever those team buses have to go, right? There needs to be a conversation here that, like, hey, police officers, while we are in Orlando, our players are very adamant about, continuing to pursue reform with how their communities interact with police officers. And, we saw it with the cops who left their, deserted their posts when the Minnesota Lynx wore the I Can't Breathe shirts, right? When they were the first ones to do that, you saw cops, basically respond by saying, well, go fuck yourselves then. We are out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the NBA here, if they are going to do this and make everybody feel as safe as possible, they need to be upfront and be very transparent with their players, with the conversations that they have with police personnel on what these protests might mean, what they are protesting for. And we got to make sure that you guys aren't going to take it upon yourselves to respond to their protests, because that would be an out and out disaster. Like that, for that, that would be it, honestly. Given how public this thing is going to be, given the platform that the NBA players are going to have, if some cop does something stupid because they are protesting how cops treat Black people in America, that is about as big a slip up as can be had in this time in our country. They need to make sure that they, not only do they talk to cops about this, but they got to make sure that the players are aware of those conversations as well.
And that's indicative of how delicate the NBA and the Players Association and everybody involved, it's a delicate of a balance the security matters are in resuming this. That isn't something we normally think of with respect to NBA games and the resumption of an NBA season, because there's security in every arena, right? There's a law enforcement presence in and around every sporting event, right? So that is not unique, but we just kind of know how it goes, and in a regular circumstance, whereas now we don't, and it's really, you've really, really got to keep people out, mm-hmm, and that's going to be, there's going to be some idiots that try to get into there, right?
Yeah.
The whole freaking NBA in one place, the way that we would look up to NBA players and the way that we adore this, mm-hmm, league, there's going to be some people trying to get in there, man.
Yeah.
And, what does that look like? That's a potential headline, something that goes a little bit wrong, right? God forbid they get in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So and all that's to say, there's so many places where this can go sideways that they need to be really, really careful and really consider all of these hypothetical doomsday what if things that we're talking about, because there's a non-zero chance of them happening.
And honestly, like, this is an opportunity for those police too. That, like, the police need a win. The police need, in the way that this conversation has gone, you have your Blue Lives Matter folks, right? That's those are the people who are going to have their opinion no matter what. But the number of people who are kind of swaying on, well, could we do this a little differently? Right? Like, could could we give them a little less money? Could we spend more on some more social programs and stuff like that? Like the number of people that come from my background who are having those conversations, that's actually been really fascinating to me, how many conversations like that have been going on. And if this thing goes on without a hitch, and if the police handle those kinds of situations right, where somebody's trying to get into the bubble and they're able to peacefully send that person away, and make sure that any spot where if tensions for whatever reason get high, if that situation is de-escalated in the way that police should de-escalate situations, like that, those are the mm-hmm. kinds of public wins that the police need right now. So they should be looking at this as an opportunity too.
It's funny how you view it from a public relations perspective. And I think that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something the NBA is going to be factoring in heavily as well, as how things look. It matters, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, there are a couple other angles to this that I wanted to go over, and then we'll have some fun to send you guys off into your weekend. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Rock Auto. You ever been thinking to yourself while you're at a Pep Boys or wherever, the dealership, right, where you're getting your car fixed, and you look at the tab at the end of it and you think to yourself, man, I wonder how much this part actually costs? Or if you ever looked at a piece that, breaks off, or you're looking at your car and you're thinking to yourself, man, I wonder how much this piece that needs to be fixed actually costs? Well, RockAuto.com is the place to find that out. And then once you find it out, you're going to want to pay something closer to that price compared to what you've been paying to get your car fixed elsewhere. RockAuto.com has just an insane encyclopedia. It feels like an encyclopedia of car parts for any situation that you might run into with your car. And there's nothing worse than car troubles. It's the most annoying thing. And rockauto.com is the best way to avoid those situations, or at least handle those situations as they come in the least painful way as possible. Rockauto.com, as we've been saying, it's a family business serving customers for 20 years now. And if you're going to go check this out, head over to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for no matter what it is that you're looking for, and then write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so that, they know that we sent you over there. Again, that's rockauto.com. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So the reason these security protocols have to be as strict as they are has been really evidenced by the last few days in terms of the news, right, where we are getting specific names. I know Nikola Jokic, his travel plans back to the States have been kind of I think they're still on hold, right, because he is in quarantine having contracted COVID-19. I know Buddy Held was somebody who failed a coronavirus test. Jabari Parker, I believe, also, and Alex Len, all of the Sacramento Kings have come down with this as well. The Lakers never reported any of the findings from its test that they ran, which I think in this spot I'm just going to take as no news is good news here. The fact that we haven't really heard anything on that, that's about as good as much as we could hope for there. What I've found interesting here is the response to this, right? And it's not a coincidence that they are running these tests 2 weeks before they start heading out to heading into the bubble. I'm willing to go so far as to say that the NBA knew that it was going to get some positive tests in this mm-hmm. round before they headed into Orlando. And like, for as much as everybody, acts all shocked online, because that's what you do online, right? But as much as everybody is freaking out about the individual cases that they are finding right now, this is actually, I think, what the NBA was, I'm not saying hoping for, but planning for. They knew that this was going to be a situation, and they wanted to get out ahead of it now so that when teams show up in Orlando, those cases, they're bringing as few cases into Orlando as possible.
when put into context with what we were talking about in the last segment regarding personnel and keeping people in versus keeping people out, this fits in what you just said, right? Of that considering something in advance and anticipating it and then having a plan to execute in anticipation of that, taking every precaution that you can. That is, there are a lot of different pieces to this that will make me feel comfortable with it. But the first couple of bits of news on how they plan on keeping this safe, I think is indicative of a decent degree of foresight and organizational execution, right? To be able to, you know, you might have a plan, but if you don't have the personnel and you don't have, you know, the leadership in place to be able to execute it, it can and still go awry. And there's going to be, we're like, you know, 2% through this journey of what this is going to be ultimately and all of the things that need to be navigated. So I, you know, I don't want to pat them too hard on the back quite yet because there's a lot of work ahead, but so far it seems like the NBA has a plan, is anticipating where things can go badly and is executing on that plan.
So I don't want to come off too judgmental here, too condescending either on this front, because I completely understand why people are saying, guys, is this all really worth it, right? Whenever a player, it's leaked that that player tests positive for coronavirus, it's clockwork. But you get the initial report, then you get like four or five people quote tweeting the report with like canceled the season. Why are we doing this? Some version of that. Right. And like, my thing is, and I've been thinking about this a lot, if the NBA and its players consider this risk worth it, is it really for us to say that, like, so long as they abide safety protocols, is it really for anybody else to say, no, this is definitely not worth it? Your business should continue to slide for the next like 6 months and then be thrown into even greater turmoil. It's not like this thing is going away anytime soon, right? We aren't getting a vaccine by the time the next season is going to kick off. So I guess from where I'm sitting, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of like the NBA as a business understands the damage that could be done if they do not resume, right? And with that understood, they are doing whatever they can to avoid that situation. And if the league and its players and coaches and all kinds of personnel are okay with the risks involved with playing in these circumstances because they understand what that would mean moving forward, I guess I'm kind of confused on why there's so much pearl clutching in this regard. Like I don't see people clutching pearls over like baseball. I think they were talking about in baseball allowing fans into Miami Marlins games, which like isn't as big a risk because it's the Miami Marlins, but still, you know,
it's outdoors and it's right.
Yeah.
You know, it can be spaced out a little more. There's going to be a line for everyone where the risk of doing it outweighs the benefits of playing, right? So that's going to be different for different people. Different people have different things at stake with that, right? Like I was saying, like, damn it, we haven't had basketball in 4 months and we're doing a basketball podcast, right? Or we're gonna like figure out things to talk about. It's what it is, right? And so we have something at stake in the NBA returning, as do everybody who covers the NBA. We have to be, right? And there's also the fan side, right, of where I'm like, God, I could use some basketball right now, right? You know, and that's all of that points to who are the people who are assuming the risk on this?
Yeah.
It's the players, right? They're the ones who are assuming the most risk. The NBA is assuming some of a risk, although that's more on a PR standpoint. There's a financial.
I might argue the coaches are assuming the most risk, right? Because of their age group. But yeah.
Sure. That's fair. The personnel on who are going to be there are the people who are assuming the most risk. There's also, I'd still say the players because they're like bumping into each other and sweating on each other and talking, and like the amount of close contact that they have is going to vastly exceed just by the nature of playing basketball, right? So it's easy to say, oh, they should just play when you don't have anything at risk, but it's also to see easy to say, oh, they shouldn't play because we don't want anybody to get hurt when you don't have your paycheck at risk, right? so the like the pearl clutching is going to happen just wherever your personal line is, if it's too far away from that, right, in one direction or another. But ultimately, like, I don't care about those people's opinions. I don't really care about my opinion on this. Really, yeah, like, that's why I've been trying to approach discussing this from a, these are the factors that the sides have to consider, because this is not our decision to make, right? Like, this is for them. Like, I mean, we can talk about, oh, there's a financial risk, of which we assume, right, as NBA podcasters to some degree. Yeah. Well, so do the players, right? The players have a significant, we talk, always talk about this small window where they have a chance to make good for themselves, for their kids, for their grandkids. That's a lot of pressure, you know, like, this is your chance to really earn wealth. And they're the ones having to decide, like, oh yeah, one of those 4 years of my career, one of those, I'm a 7 year veteran that made it that far. Yeah, that's worth sacrificing the last part of that. And, in order to minimize the risk, right? Like, they're the ones assuming the risk. They're the ones who should be making the decision.
Yeah, that's basically where I sit on this. And, you know, it's also kind of problematic for me to tell people how to react to this stuff, because they are, you know, their own experiences are different than mine, right? Like, if you know somebody directly or lost somebody to coronavirus, you're going to have a very different response to somebody testing positive than I will. Whereas, you know, because I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, gotten out of here without knowing anybody directly who has dealt with it. So, you know, all of this, you know, together has been really interesting to watch, both from, you know, the practical standpoint of how the NBA is going to try to pull this off, but also from the societal standpoint of, you know, where people draw their various lines on all of this. And you know, like you said, this thing is just getting started. They haven't even, you know, we're still a week away from them actually making their way out to Orlando. So we'll see how that looks. All right, let's get out of here on a fun one. You just finished watching Avatar for the first time, the animated series.
Yes.
Which?
Water Tribe.
Yeah?
Water Tribe.
Why is that?
Yeah, I've just always been attracted to the water. It's always been my, like, I like the nighttime, I like the cold, I like the water. Those are all like the basic.
But not enough to go swimming in the ocean.
Well, yeah, no, I have a healthy respect and fear of it, right? I ain't a shark bender. You see? I'm a water bender.
Is a shark bender just like a sushi chef?
Wow.
I can't say it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah.
It's pretty perfect that I'd be fire and you'd be water.
You think you're Fire Nation?
Mr. Hot Take, dude. Like, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and make that joke for everybody. Water's a good one too. Like, I honestly think, again, watching that show. What's up?
I don't think you have a choice. I think that you have a natural attraction.
No, I was gonna say, though, in the show, I don't think they make waterbenders powerful enough. Because, like,
I think part of the power of waterbenders is healing. Aang dies if Katara doesn't heal him, right?
Right. Well, I mean from the standpoint of, like, like, all right, so if you're a waterbender, we are made up of 70% water, right? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't they be able to bend the people around them?
That's did you not watch the whole show?
No, but like they do that for healing. But I'm saying there's no way the fire should ever have beaten them at anything.
So there's the blood bending is the advanced water bending.
Oh, I haven't got
right?
that yet.
Where you do the Sorry for spoilers. This is book three.
Yeah. I'm getting to that. We're about midway through. Avery is all about this show. Like, she is all about it.
Nice. You'll see what I'm talking about then.
All right.
So I'm looking forward. That is something you have to be. You know, only a select few. That's like advanced water bending is the guide to
AP water bending.
AP water bending.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Weird one today. We like to have the weird ones when we send you off into the weekend. When we come back next week, we're going to get even more details on what all this is going to look like. I'm sure we're probably going to start to get some reports on practices and stuff like that too, right? Where teams are going to start getting ready for, you know, or preparing for heading out to Orlando. So we'll get some of that as well. Send your questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes if you want that covered there. We talked about killer whales and airbending today and waterbending.
This was a wild show, man. And then it was like, this is like depressing as hell in the middle and like very like security issues.
you know me and my security stuff. I'm the fascist, right? Like this stuff is really interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm glad they couldn't see you while you were reading all of that.
I was just
sweat dripping from your forehead. Like,
yeah, I have three glasses of water next to me. The waterbending that's been going on has been like just on my face.
Oh, gross.